We're so worried about the Eagles that we don't even realize that maybe Thursday's game could be a challenge for them. They are only a 3-point favorite against the 1-4 New York Giants. And to find out what's going on with the Giants, and it was heartbreak city for them on Sunday losing that game. And, you know, a team finds a fine, there's a fine line between a team really cashing it in at that point or having enough to fight back. So let's talk to the man who covers the Giants for NewJersey.com and the Star Ledger, Ryan Dunleavy, on the Comcast Business Hotline. Ryan, how you doing today?
Hey, thanks for having me on.
My pleasure. Listen, what's going on with this team, and did that Sunday game break their back and their spirit?
Look, they lost two games like that last year to the Eagles on a 61-yarder by Jake Elliott, and then the next week, back-to-back losses like that on a walk-off field goal by the Bucs. That broke their spirit last year. It led to all the dysfunction, to the players basically quitting. I don't think that'll happen this year. The joke around here today is this was the loosest 1-4 team I've ever seen, because I think the Giants were really picked up by the fact that they can write it off as a fluke loss when a guy makes that 63-yard field goal. They were encouraged by their comeback, by their offense finally showing some signs of life. I think they feel like they did enough things that maybe they found more answers than problems, which hasn't been the case around here most games.
Well, they're facing an Eagles team that is also reeling, obviously, at 2-3, and the fans can't believe it, and it's the Super Bowl hangover, but it's more than that. It's kind of a depletion in the ranks, and they're different than what they were last year. What are Giants saying about facing this team at this particular time?
Well, look, they have a lot of respect for a team with Carson Wentz, a team with the defensive line. Nate Solder actually said it. Each one of those defensive linemen is at or near the best in the league at their respective position, and Nate Solder never says anything. So it's clear that his impact from his memory of that Super Bowl loss when he was with the Patriots has stuck with him. He has tons of respect for this defensive line, for this defense, for the Eagles, but let's call it what it is. The NFC stinks, and the Giants know that. They know that the only reason their season isn't over is because they're a game and a half behind the Redskins and a game behind the Eagles and Cowboys. Otherwise, 1-4, you'd be dead. But no, the Giants feel like they still have playoff hopes, because their way into it is this division, winning this division, which, if only since 1970, this is only the second time where all the teams have been 500 or lower after week 5, which is startling when you hear that.
Yeah, and this is a division that maybe is one with a 9-7 record at this point, and we weren't really expecting that when it pertained to the Eagles. Talking to Ryan Dunleavy from NewJersey.com, Star Ledger, he covers the Giants. Now, let's talk about the Giants' offense, and the Eagles have really struggled on the back end. But, you know, this Giants team that was supposed to be so encouraging offensively, with Barkley in there, with the weapons they have, 23rd in the league in points scored, 25th in yards per game. What's going on with their offense?
Yeah, I mean, if we were having this conversation last week, I would have told you their offense was a dink and dunk offense. It was totally ill-fit for the personnel. When you have Saquon Barkley, Sterling Shepard, Evan Ingram, who's supposed to play this week against the Eagles after missing the last two games, and Odell Beckham, you are not supposed to have a dink and dunk offense. The Giants had the fewest plays of 20 yards or more in the NFL after four games. It just didn't seem to fit. They were having a tough time with soft zone, cover two defense, teams basically dictating to the Giants, here's what you do, instead of the Giants dictating, we're going to do what we do. That all kind of changed against the Panthers, and yes, I know they lost the game, but it all kind of changed because Manning threw the ball downfield, Beckham made some plays in the end zone, Beckham was targeted 14 times, the Giants threw for 320 yards. It looked much more like an Eli Manning-led offense, which is take some shots down the field. He's going to throw some interceptions. He threw two in the second half. He's done it his whole career. And he's going to lead some crazy comebacks, which he almost did in this game. The Giants were down 11 twice and then had the lead with, 5 seconds left in the game and lost.
What do you think the Giants need to do in this game to win it? Barkley, obviously, everybody thought was going to just take the lead by storm. He struggled a little bit. He's had some good games, but not over the top good. 75 yards rushing per game for the Giants. So what's the plan of attack here against what the Eagles have been doing defensively? Because they do stop the run.
I love hearing you say that, because if that's kind of the whole debate, and we could do a whole segment or a whole show probably on Barkley, because you say he struggled, but he has, if he gets over 100 yards from scrimmage against the Eagles, he'll be the second player in NFL history to start his career with seven straight games over 100 yards from scrimmage. He's on pace for over 1,800 yards from scrimmage and 16 touchdowns, which would eclipse Alvin Kamara's numbers last year when he won Rookie of the Year. So with Barkley, it's not really just about the run, and that's good because the Eagles are going to stop the run. With Barkley, it's about yards from scrimmage. It's about him as a receiving threat, getting him the ball in other ways. I think that he's been everybody's bit as good as advertised, and the Giants are still 1-4, which is why a lot of Giants fans wanted them to pick a quarterback, not a running back. But that's a different debate. I mean,
yeah, that's a major debate. That debate goes on every day up there, doesn't it?
Yeah, it certainly does. Yep, because it's not that Barkley's been a disappointment. He's been terrific. Mm-hmm. It's just you're 1-4 with him.
Yeah.
So to win this game, obviously, they're going to have to get the ball to Beckham. They're going to have to, you know, double moves on Jalen Mills and throw the ball down the field, use Ingram if Ingram's back over the middle. They're going to have to not do the dink and dunk offense. They're going to have to make big plays because that's what the Giants offense should be doing when you have this many players. The problem is, is Eli Manning going to have any time? With this offensive line from the Giants, not really that much improved from years gone by, despite their efforts to improve it over the offseason, are they really going to have any time against this Eagles defensive front to even get the ball off? Because if not, then they're going to have to go back to the 2 and 3 yard passes, and that's what makes every Giants fan groan.
And of course, they just cut a veteran offensive lineman. So, do they think that's going to improve the situation?
It's interesting. I mean, look, Eric Flowers was a huge first round bust. Every franchise has them, right? Everywhere the fan base turns against the guy, and it's almost more harm than good to have him around. They gave him every snap all off-season, all preseason as the first-team right tackle, tried everything to get him to win the job. He struggled mightily his first two games, got benched, and now he was on the bench. So, look, would I have kept him around probably as an insurance policy in case there's an injury? But the Giants decided more harm than good here, keeping him around. Certainly wasn't a guy who was well-liked by his teammates. So they moved on, and they're bringing up a guy who was on the Eagles practice squad a couple years ago. Brian Mihalik will be their third offensive tackle, and they're going to roll with Chad Wheeler at right tackle, which they've been doing for the last 3 weeks.
All right, last question. There's a couple beefs going on right now. Eli and Beckham and Eli and Lil Wayne. I assume the one with...
Think about what you just said, though. Yeah. I mean, can you believe we're talking about Eli Manning having a beef with Lil Wayne? I did not expect that when I woke up.
No, I didn't think so either, but it's funny. But what Beckham said is interesting because I don't know how this plays in the locker room. He said he couldn't rule out Eli in why the offense is not working. Now, he had pretty much been quiet all year. That's kind of a dagger, isn't it?
Oh, look. The outside world has taken this as a dagger. Former players, you know, former NFL players, former NFL coaches like Tony Dungy, the media has certainly interpreted it as a dagger. Shurmur certainly was angry about it. Odell apologized to his teammates, which addressed what he meant to say, which seems to have appeased the locker room, at least publicly. Most guys are saying they either didn't see the comments or don't care about the comments, or his apology was good enough. Look, for the Giants, the one thing that's important here is Ben McAdoo was an Odell Beckham enabler. Whatever Odell Beckham did, they didn't want to upset Odell Beckham. Pat Shurmur was angry. Pat Shurmur encouraged Beckham to talk to the team. So Pat Shurmur tried to address this a little differently. I think for Manning, you know, Manning's been criticized by people, you know, his whole life. He understands it. He wanted Manning to address it because there's so many new guys on the Giants, 30-plus new guys from last year, so he wanted them to understand who Manning is. And now, but Manning, in his disarming sense of humor, said, "I don't listen to much Lil Wayne music." Well, apparently that made its way to Lil Wayne, who now ripped Eli Manning. And so the Giants responded by playing three Lil Wayne songs to start practice today on this soundtrack.
Well, didn't he actually say, I don't watch Lil Wayne much? Rather than, like,
yeah,
he
I just watch, listen, yeah.
Yeah, he, I, mean, yeah, watch, he, I mean, I don't know if he knew who Lil Wayne was. He thought he was a TV guy or something.
Look, that's just the idea that Beckham was doing that interview, sitting next to Lil Wayne, is...
Yeah,
I mean, that's who he is, though. I mean, Odell Beckham's a pop culture celebrity as much as he is a football celebrity, and Eli Manning will never be confused with a pop culture celebrity.
Listen, I know you're a detached, respected journalist here. Did the Giants win this game? Are you feeling the Giants winning this game Thursday?
I picked the Giants to win the game 28-26.
Ooh.
I think they figured some stuff out on offense. Look, before the season, I had them losing to the Eagles twice. I don't like anything I've seen from the Eagles so far. Mm. Not that I like anything I've seen from the Giants either. I just think, you know, being around here every day, I sense a loose but desperate team, if that makes sense. A team that understands it's desperate but isn't tight about it. I'm not in the Eagles locker room, obviously, every day. But seeing the Giants, this is it. I mean, this is it. They either win or they're done. So I get this. Whereas the Eagles probably don't have that same desperation because they're still the best team in the division.
Ryan, a pleasure. Thanks for the info. We really appreciate you coming on.
Yep, thanks for having me on.
All right, there he is. That's Ryan Dunleavy, who covers the Giants.